The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Good morning, Anthony Reich. How are you?
Boker Tov, Shavua Tov. Nice to talk to you. Today is Pesach Sheni for those people who haven't had enough of Pesach yet. A month after Pesach, we have a second Pesach.
I know, it's fantastic, isn't it? That we get a second chance. How many second chances do you really get in life, Anthony?
I think we get a lot of second chances, to be honest. I think you only have one opportunity to make a first impression. But you know what? I think that there are many second chances, and I think we should take them. And apparently this is the day on which the Pesach offering had to be brought if you were unavailable to do it the first time around. So there you go. This is Pesach Sheni. But on a more serious note, what's going on in India is really, really scary in terms of COVID-19
terrifying.
There.
Terrifying.
And it's really, I mean, you know, whatever we've seen up until now seems to pale into insignificance in comparison to what's going on there. And Israel has offered a medical team to go out and help India, to help the Indians to somehow try to deal with this. They're short of oxygen, they're short of medical personnel, they're short of almost everything you could imagine. I'm not quite sure whether this offer is going to be accepted or not, but I can't imagine why it wouldn't be, because really, you know, thank God Israel has managed somehow to overcome the worst of COVID-19. Things are open, things are operating pretty much almost back to normal. And now we're offering some of our medical expertise and I guess some of our experience in dealing with this to go out to India and sort it out. So we'll see how that progresses.
It's absolutely heartbreaking what's happening in India. And they're saying that it's an Indian strain. It's a completely different strain.
There is an Indian strain, which has, of course, been of concern. I've noticed in a number of places that they are reporting that this Indian strain has come to their shores. I think in Switzerland I saw there were sort of reports of some of the Indian strain breaking out there too. So, yeah, certainly some concern about that.
Yeah. Did you see the reports also that the wealthy in India are hiring jets or taking their own jets and fleeing India to escape the virus, which is probably how it's getting from India elsewhere?
I've seen so many reports of what the craziness is of what's going on in India. People trying to get hold of empty tanks that they might be able to fill up with oxygen, go out and find somewhere that will fill their tank. People are literally trying to get their hands on these tanks so that they can fill them with oxygen, so they can have them handy in case they need to get oxygen, in case they suffer from breathing difficulties as a result of COVID-19, because there is such a massive shortage of oxygen that people are literally dying on the streets as a result of not being able to gain access to it.
All right, let's get on to some of the news. It's been very eventful in Israel. What is happening, Anthony? What is happening in Israel? What is going on? Is there something in the water that all of a sudden there are protests, some of them violent, and I'm talking about from Israeli Jews, from Israeli Arabs. What is going on? And then you've got rocket fire on top of that.
Well, I think that's, you know, let's start with the rocket fire. More than 40 rockets have been fired on three consecutive nights now. The last three consecutive nights, last night alone, saw a number of rockets. Three rockets were launched into Israel from Gaza. All of these, of course, being launched from Gaza towards Israeli territory. It really started on Friday. 36 rockets, I think, were launched just on Friday night alone towards Israel. And then it's kind of continued last night, and also a few launched on Saturday night. So the question is, why? What all of a sudden happened? There is some context which we can give to these rockets being fired, although nobody's really sure how to link everything together and exactly what has precipitated what. But we do know that there were altercations in Jerusalem. They have really been all week. I discussed it last week with Howard that the police tried to prevent Muslim youths from gathering at the Damascus Gate, which is seems to be some sort of a tradition that they do during the holy fasting month of Ramadan, Ramadan Karim to all our Muslim listeners. This seems to be something which is something of a tradition. The police decided, in order to prevent any outbreaks of violence, that they were going to try to prevent those youths from gathering at the Damascus Gate. instead of preventing the violence, this action has really created a lot of tension and violence within Jerusalem. And really on Thursday, this came to a head with massive protests and lots of attacks against police, number of people being arrested as a result of the violence that took place on the streets of Jerusalem. And now I read that the Jerusalem police chief has finally given in and decided that he's going to allow the youths to gather, as is their tradition, at the Damascus Gate in order to try to calm things down. Very, very ironic that such a poor decision was made, where the attempt was to try to prevent things from happening, and instead it just stoked the fire, stoked the flames to push it over the edge, which is very, very unfortunate indeed. So that'll go down in history as one of the worst decisions made by the Jerusalem police chief. But having said that, it also then caused some Jewish right-wing extremist groups to try to protest on the streets of Jerusalem as well, in order to show that they also wish to take control of the streets of Jerusalem. So a little bit of competition going on between various groups within Jerusalem, the Muslim groups and the Jewish groups. All of this is really a fruitless exercise, and I'm not quite sure exactly why this would have gone on, but that's the way it happened. And then all of a sudden, Friday night, we see this massive outbreak of rockets being fired, 36 all in all. Some say that this is a response by Iran using its proxies in Gaza to try somehow to retaliate against some of the actions that have been taking place against the Iranian territory, against the Iranian nuclear program. Another ship was apparently attacked by a drone and set fire to over the weekend. Some reports say it was an Iranian ship. Some say it was a Syrian ship. Israel is being blamed nonetheless. So again, we're having lots of activity going on between Iran and Israel, and there are some people who attribute the sudden outbreak of or uptick in the rocket fire from Gaza to be some sort of a retaliation from Iran. It might be against the background of the altercations in Jerusalem that have taken place. None of this is really clear to us. We can only just speculate. What we do know is that the Israeli government obviously have decided to retaliate. The IDF have been in action against targets in Gaza. Hamas seems, while not to be active in actually sending these rockets, seems to be very supportive. There are times when Hamas remains silent. There are times when Hamas tries to stop the rockets from being fired. On this occasion, Hamas is not silent. They haven't tried to stop these groups from sending rockets. Instead, they've actually encouraged terror groups within Gaza to have told them to be ready for any event, to be ready to send rockets in the event that it's needed. So here, even though Hamas are not formally taking responsibility for sending these rockets, it seems as if they are definitely trying to encourage various groups within Gaza to send rockets and to be ready to do so. This is all very, very unfortunate. We know that one of the other reasons, by the way, that has been blamed for these rockets being fired is to somehow bring some attention to Gaza, with COVID-19 still being suffered. Lots and lots of corona outbreaks in Gaza. They are currently under a nighttime curfew in order to try to take action against the spread of corona in Gaza. Those nighttime curfews have been broken, with people protesting. There have been protests also along the Gaza border. Once again, we're seeing people gathering along the border, trying to take action against Israel, protest against Israel. So all of this is very unsettling and uncertain, and particularly for people in southern Israel who've had to sleep in bomb shelters over the last few days. In the meantime, the security services have returned everything back to normal status. There will be school as usual and activities as normal in the Gaza envelope area, the so-called Gaza envelope area, which surrounds the Gaza Strip. But certainly a little unnerving, and not entirely clear precisely why this has all of a sudden taken place. But there are some commentators who say Jerusalem somehow seems to be involved in all of the activities which lead ultimately to major escalations within the Arab world. Jerusalem somehow seems to be the one common factor. There are altercations, there are issues, there are arguments over what's going on in Jerusalem. That leads to wider outbreaks of violence, and potentially afterwards, at least historically, has led to broader military activities. We hope that that won't be the case.
No question, there has to be a relationship. You know, you've got unhappiness and riots or protest demonstrations. You've got violence happening on the Temple Mount. And all of a sudden rockets are fired into Gaza. There's definitely a relationship, Anthony.
Well, I think that, I mean, again, it's very, very, they say that in this part of the world, nothing happens without reason.
True.
And there are no coincidences.
Yeah.
And Jerusalem is the one factor that unites Muslims around the world who are very disparate and very split up and very tribalized in a sense. I mean, so many different groups of Muslims with differing beliefs and disagreements between themselves. And yet, if you want one thing that seems to unite all of them against the odds, then it's the issue of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is a city, and the issues that surround Jerusalem seem to be a really uniting factor amongst all Muslims around the world. So, nothing is coincidental.
Well, let's see how the story pans out. But you know what I was actually thinking? Abraham, right? Islam and Judaism were the two Abrahamic religions, or two of the three anyway.
Right.
And it was the descendants of Abraham who were promised a place in the land. Not?
Okay.
So we have to find a way forward. Anyhow, that's just me, Anthony. I want to talk to you about whether you guys have a government yet or not.
We do not have a government yet, and the latest quite amusing proposal that's being made by Prime Minister Netanyahu is to offer Benny Gantz to be the first Prime Minister in a rotation if he agrees to come into a coalition with the Likud. Now, the last elections were precipitated by the fact that Prime Minister Netanyahu had entered into an agreement with the Kahol Lavan Blue and White Party headed by Benny Gantz, in terms of which Benny Gantz was due to be Prime Minister in November of this year. And we understand that the Prime Minister decided to try and head off that event by calling an election. He wanted to try and avoid the rotation at almost at any price, was the way that it was being presented, and so called an election in order somehow to try to get rid of that particular reality that he was living, where Benny Gantz would become Prime Minister in November. How ironic it is now that after having called this election and sent the country to vote, and at all the cost and all the inconvenience and all the aggravation that it has caused after having so many elections recently, now after all of that, he's offering Benny Gantz to be a Prime Minister not in November, but right now. I'm not quite sure how we're supposed to interpret this. Anyway, the bottom line of this entire story is that the Kahol Lavan faction, headed by Benny Gantz, have simply dismissed this offer as a bit of a joke, as a something of a ploy, and something that they can't believe, which I think they have just a good cause to dismiss. So that's just the latest tactic that Prime Minister Netanyahu has been using to try to form a government. We do understand that in the background, Naftali Bennett continues to try to form his type of government, what he calls a national unity government. I'm not quite sure what that will look like. It seems as if though he is working with Yair Lapid to try to pull them all together. But as things stand right now, no government and no signs of a government on the horizon anytime soon, unfortunately.
Anthony Reich, that is where we leave it. It is 8 o'clock and we need to get to news, but I will be speaking to you again tomorrow morning.
I look forward to it. Have a good day.